Can we just quickly open our Bibles? I want us to take a set of confessions as our prayers for this evening. And I feel like I'll continue something that we began to speak about on Saturday. Well, we've been talking about it for some time on Saturday. Talking about the path of righteousness, the key of eternal life, how we attain righteousness with God. And there was something I said on Saturday which is very vital, and that's the issue of resisting certain temptations, all right? And let's just read this. This is not going into details about that, but I just want to read this expression to us again, the Bible. First of all, let's read from the book of James, chapter 7, and then we'll go to James chapter 4. Now, look at what he says there in verse... let me just start from verse... I'm looking for where to pick it up from. All right, let's just start from verse 1. But where I'm going is verse 7. I won't read the whole thing. I'll just jump here and then and slow down when I get to around verse 5. So it was saying, why are there quarrels and conflicts amongst the people? And it was saying that it's because of the loss that they have and all of that. And then he began to speak about the fact that people ask and don't receive. And the reason why they don't receive is because the motivation for the asking being out of order with the will of God. And he now said in verse 5, or do you think that the scriptures speak to no purpose? That is when he says, he jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace, all right? Therefore he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He now said in verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Then he went ahead and said some other things. But if you read in verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, there's a reason why I read this, and the main reason for now is the fact that he used the expression, submit therefore to God, but more importantly, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I want to lay this as the foundation for our prayer this evening. We will spend some time declaring some things about our personal lives. And this is in line with what we have been teaching for some weeks on that we began it some weeks ago. And my emphasis, like I said, is to break down this works mentality that has crept into the body of Christ. What I have noticed, and the thing is really all over the place, is that Christians have not been taught to put their emphasis on the grace that is in Christ Jesus. These days, they are hardly taught to put their emphasis on the righteousness that comes by faith. What people do is to unconsciously, because it's just all over the place, all right? So unconsciously, they try to work for whatever they will get from God. If they need a special thing, they can't just ask simply and expect God to give to them. They want to fast for a number of days, and it's an unconscious thing. You want to punish yourself as to let God know that you have done something to get what you are asking from him, that you want to prosper. We lay so much emphasis on the giving that we are giving, that is our money, as being the thing that will bring prosperity back to us. Let me just drop it again by the side. It is not so. It doesn't work like that. You can give until you are broke and borrow from your future to give. You will still be poor if you don't do what is right. And that is a matter of fact. You understand my point? You can tie it until your life becomes tight, like they say. You get my point? It does not guarantee you anything. You must understand that. Because in Christianity, what matters is that he was rich, yet he became poor, so that you and I, through his poverty, might be made rich. And until we recognize that, you're not going anywhere. All right? So, what's the dream in my mind? I mean, my focus for the year is to let Christians realize it again. That righteousness is by what? Faith. Righteousness is by what? I'm asking you, righteousness is by what?
Faith.
That is what righteousness is by. What is faith? Faith means that God says that I have done it, then accept it as so. If God says I have forgiven you, take his word for it, you have been forgiven. If God says I will answer you anytime you cry, then cry anytime you need to and expect an answer. You don't have to do something as to be able to take some credit that you have worked, all right? Now, I'm not teaching on that now. We began to speak about that on Saturdays. Today is our school of prayer again. I just want to lay that one as the emphasis and the foundation for our prayer today. And now this one we read, it said, resist. Why am I talking about resist again? I said that on Saturday. That's this last Saturday that just passed now. When I said resist, what I was trying to explain there, what I was talking is that what the devil tries to do is to draw us out of the place of our strength and then carry us to the place where he is strong. Do you get my point? If you hear, maybe you are watching, if you watch these lawn tennis guys, all right, you see that somebody is strong on the hard court, and who's the guy that's very strong on the clay court? And I used to wonder why they call it clay court until yesterday again. Or recently, I found out why it was called clay court. I thought it was just a color. Until I found out they should have just called it a dirty court, you know, that kind of thing. It's just the ball doesn't bounce very well, you know, stuff like that. The point is this. Some people are very strong on grass court. Say Wimbledon is played on grass, right? Some people are saying, what is he talking about? All right, you hear on lawn tennis, there are different, all right, kind of courts they use. Some is real hard courts, the one most of us are used to. Some is clay court, some is grass, all right? Now, some people are stronger in some areas than others. So you find a particular champion, if you want to beat him, just carry him to maybe hard court. You will beat him very well there. But once he gets back to clay court and grass court, you are dead meat. You know that kind of thing. And that's how it is. Satan is like that. The area where he's strong, I said it on Saturday, you can go and listen to that message again. The area where he's strong is the area of works. The area where he's strong is the area of self-righteousness. The area where he's strong is the area of the flesh. The area where he is strong, are you getting my point, is the area of the world. Now, let me tell you something about sin. Sin is not always what we think it is. Some of the very good things we do in life, I said that also on Saturday, as far as God is concerned, they are sin. You understand? Wickedness. And you thought you had a good intention. You thought you were doing it so that God would get something out of it. As an example, remember when David went to carry the ark, you know, from Kiriath Jearim, right? Was that where the ark was? And then when they got to the threshing place of who? Was it one threshing place anyway? And Uzzah now touched the ark, and he collapsed and he died. And why did Uzzah die? It's simple. Later on, David explained it. He said it was because we did not seek him after the due order. What David was trying to do was good. He wanted to bring the ark back because since they captured it in the days of Saul, nobody had gone to look for the ark. David now, having been established as king, said, let's go and bring the ark back. Very nice, isn't it so? Very nice thing to do. But this time around, he made one crucial error. Instead of the ark to be carried according to the prescribed order, he decided to do something. Now, this is the emphasis. He wanted to do something good for God. You know, this is for my God. You know what I'm saying? The ark cannot just suffer. So let's go and buy the latest, you know, what kind of car now that has that, you know, we'll go and buy a very nice, maybe Lincoln, all right? With open back, we'll put the ark on it. As the ark is passing, you'll be sprinkling it with anointing oil. As the ark is passing, you are sprinkling things. Now, the point is this. It appears very nice to everybody. But in the eyes of God, that was wrong. What's my emphasis? Some of the good things we do, they're actually sin in the eyes of God. For David, that was a sin. Why? God gave a prescribed order. He said, take the ark and carry the ark on the shoulders of the priests. He told them, don't touch the ark at all. Even the priests were not supposed to touch it. You know that. They had rings, all right, at the edges of the ark. You passed your pole into it and lifted off the ark. And then Uzzah again. David did the first error. He put the ark on the cart. What he did was to take some very strong oxen, tie very nice carts to them, and then put the ark on it. That was the first mistake David made. And then Uzzah was one of those driving the cart. But yeah, move, move. Then at the point in time, they climbed one stone that somebody forgot to remove from the way. And then the ark was about to tumble. Again, notice, why should the ark of God tumble? Think about it. Would you like let the ark of God tumble? Even if you did it yourself. May you not be in a bad place. Because as a good child of God, a man of the covenant, if the ark wants to tumble, you're supposed not let it happen. God said, did you ever see where I wrote, thou shalt not let it tumble? What I wrote, that thou shalt not touch. If you are tumbled, that was not the sin. But you touched it, that was a crime. Good intention. He didn't want it to fall. But do you know, this is a sad part of it, do you know he died for it? Good intention or no,
like the American will say, whether the intention was good or was not good, the young man died for it. The Bible, now, the way the Bible says it, the anger of God was kindled against Uzzah. You must understand that it wasn't just like there was one sharp object there that injured him and he died. The Bible says the anger of God was kindled against Uzzah. So he struck him and there he died. Good intention. You see, it doesn't always work. That's why I say to you all the time, Christians must learn. You must learn. He said, guard your steps when you approach the temple of God. Draw near to listen. If you don't not draw near to listen, you end up offering what he calls the sacrifices of fools. He said, they do not realize that they are doing evil. They came with a good heart. They came with a good intention. But their sacrifices were the sacrifices of fools. Now, why did I say that? That's why, you know, we're talking about where Satan is strong. Satan is strong in the area of works. Satan is strong in the area of the flesh. Satan is strong in the area of self-righteousness. And when he wants to play the game and he wants to lose, that's where he drags you to. What is the focus for today's prayer? To take our eyes away again for what? From self-righteousness to the righteousness of God. They say, herein is the righteousness of God revealed. If you approach God in prayer and you look back over your life, say, God, I have tried for you. You've moved to the devil's area. They will say, fine. This is the area where I like to play my own game, where you have tried for God. Please, I hope you follow my point. If you want to pray, you move into the area of prayer. And you know, I said something that on that Saturday, and that, which is why I'm bringing up again today. I said you must resist it. That's why I read this one. He said what? Resist. Whom resist? Steadfast in your faith. He said resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what why I read this. Those things are temptations. Looking back over the good work you have done for God, thinking that because of that, he will do something for you, is a temptation. You must resist it. You want to pray for somebody who is in need. And let's say you remember that, last week, I had some money. That guy who needed money, did I not give to him? That young boy wanted to pay fees, he was crying. Did I not give him? And it comes to your mind as you're about to start praying. You have just fallen for the devil. You have just fallen for what? The devil, his temptation. So what do? You resist. I said it on Saturday. What do? You immediately you start talking. Say, Lord, as for those offerings I gave, I thank you for them. But I'm just your servant. I have done what I was supposed to do. And listen, Satan, shut your mouth. Get behind me. You must say it openly. God, I am not coming to you because of what I have done. I am not coming to you because of that offering I gave. I say to you all the time, don't let anybody ever say this to you and you believe it. That when you want to pray, bring out your checkbook. It's arrant nonsense. I say, God, look at what I have done. You are playing the devil's game. Because there is more that you have not done than that which you have done. And once you move to the area of what I have done, the devil comes back, fine, this is the area where I like. I start telling you the things you have not done. So when you want to pray, what do? You pray only how? In the name of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Any good thing you have done, you consciously refuse to remember it. Any bad thing you have done, the same thing. All of them are in the same group. I hope you know. They are all works of the flesh. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Any bad thing you have done, you realize it's also covered by the blood of Jesus. Anything you are going to get from God, you are getting purely because Jesus paid for it. And I say, are you saying, we'll talk about that on Saturday. Are you saying good works don't have reward? They have, but it's between God and himself to calculate it. Did you hear what I said? Yes. It is his own. How he will use it is his business. The example I give about that all the time is when the Shunammite woman, after she did everything she was going to do for Elijah. Is it Elijah or Elisha now? Elisha. He said, what do we do for this woman? They called her. What do you want? Nothing. Let's talk to the chief of staff of the army for you. No need. You need money? My husband is very rich. Ask everything. Say, I don't need anything. What I did because I recognize that you're a man of God and you're doing the work of the ministry. And then she left. Now, take Elisha as a type of God. Now turn to his servant. What do you do for that woman? He said, I have noticed that she doesn't have a child. He said, okay, call her then. It was between God and himself. Are you getting my point? To say, this is what I want to give you. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. It's important. You will move further and faster in life if you understand this thing I'm telling you. That once you get to the place of prayer, you must come there empty-handed. You know, empty-handed? Nothing. You're not holding to anything. Have you done well? I don't know. Because let me tell you something. You don't know the measure that God is using to judge. That's a very important thing. You don't know the measure he's using to judge. You know, I talk about Job all the time. For many years, Job was an issue for me. I used to study and read Job until I finally understood. The summary of this book of Job is that Job was the best of all men. Amen? He was. But once you get into the heavens, he was the worst of all righteous men. I don't know whether you get my point. Once you begin to use God as a standard, you find that Job doesn't measure at all. So the point I'm making is this. Job had to get that point. By the time, you know, when Job was speaking initially, oh, this was what happened. I used to help people. I never did anything wrong. When God finished speaking with Job, Job suddenly realized that the measure that God is looking at, I don't in any way come near it. Therefore, if after that day, Job won't dare go to prayer and be thinking that, myself, I don't try. What's my message today? I'm not preaching that message now. We're doing a series on it. I just want that to be the foundation for our prayer today. And that's the fact that we are resisting the very thoughts of self-righteousness. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, it's resisting. It's like Satan wants to beat me. Eh? He wants me to think I will prosper because I have given. And his plan is so that I will be poor. I don't know whether I hear what I said. He wants to put me in a place of self-confidence. That look at it, I have done my business very well. I didn't cheat anybody. For that reason, this business will prosper. So when I go and pray, I say, God, you see, I have not cheated anybody. I have not cheated anybody. I say, good. Have you cheated anybody? No, hey, so go and pray. And you know what he's doing? He's ensuring that that business will never go anywhere. I mean, the Christianity is very fun. If you don't know it very well, you wonder what is this person talking about. That is it good to cheat people? Did I say you should cheat people? No, it's not right to cheat people. It is called sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? But when we go to pray, we don't go say, God, see, I have not cheated anybody. So bless me. God say, wow. You get to that level, let me start telling you, the people you were supposed to help, you did not help. You're only thinking about those you did not cheat. Don't you know that the Bible says that the person that slack in his business is brother to him that destroys? That is, the one that cheats is brother to him that refuses to help people that you're supposed to help. You don't know that? That is, the cheat is very close to the man who refuses to be generous. He that is slack in his business is brother to him that destroys. Do you get my point? That's why when you want to pray, you don't say, God, you see, this business, I have not cheated anybody, so you will make it grow. Because that's not the premise. You know why your business will grow? Two reasons. One, Jesus paid for everything you would ever desire in life. Every single thing. And then number two reason why it will do well is because you asked me that I should release that grace that Jesus has paid for. On those two things hang the law and the prophets. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That's it. That your prosperity hangs on those two things. Will I be rich in life? Yes. Why? Oh, I'm a generous giver. No, that's a passport to poverty. Will I be rich in life? Yes. Why? Because Jesus was rich. Then he came down, shed all his riches, he died, and that's the height of poverty. That I, through his poverty, may be made rich. That's it. So shouldn't you be generous? If you know that, generosity will be a part of you. Your generosity, therefore, is a sign of your faith. Did you hear what I said? It is therefore what? A sign of your faith. A stingy man, a faithless man cannot use giving therefore to bribe God into prosperity. Anything he's going to get from God is going to be by faith. What is faith? If God says it, I believe it, that settles it. How do I live my life after? I start living my life like what God says is true. So all the sins that men commit, all the lack of giving, in quotes now, that women commit, it is because they don't have faith. Are you getting my point? So that becomes a reflection of the fact that they don't have faith. It is not as if it is your labor that will compel God to bless you. Listen, you must fight that thing. In today's Christianity, it is preached all the time as if it is what you do that brings you into God's favor. I'm telling you today again, the only thing that brings you into God's favor is what Christ did. How does righteousness come? He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul was saying. If you want, no, righteousness, I said to us, means what? To be okay with God. For God to look at you and say, yes, you are doing good. For God to look at a businessman and say, you are a good businessman. And the Bible says, hearing is that thing revealed. It is from faith to faith. That is a man, listen, who works hard, makes sure everything is done. He is in his office on time. He doesn't cheat anybody. As his money is coming out, he gives God his portion, gives his neighbor the portion. He does everything that he's doing well. And he checks a law book he has concerning how to do business. And he does everything and then he settles down. And say, look at it, I've completed everything. I must prosper. His Bible name is Esau. What do I call his Bible name? Esau. Jacob, what is Jacob? He may come late to work because God is still teaching him diligence. I don't know whether you get my point. I'm not saying he'll be late forever. But why he's still learning? But God looks at his heart and says, this fellow, this is what he says all the time. God, if you don't help me in this life, you know I can't be helped. Are you following my point? He says to God all the time, if you don't help me, I can't be helped. Before he does any business, what goes to his mind is, God, is your blessing on this one? Because if you don't help me, I can't be helped. So, this is Esau. Esau is like, we have done our feasibility studies. We have gotten a prophet anointing upon this one. I hope you get what I'm saying. This is Esau for you. What is remaining? We have hired the best people. How many days do you spend in prayer prophesying over this? They say it's 6 days. Good. 6 days of intense prayers on this one. There's no how it won't do well. Oh yeah. In all of this, he has used spiritual gymnastics as his own strength. It is still human strength. That is a spiritual Esau. But Jacob looks at him and says, we'll try our best to. God, I beg. Now beg with a beg. You know, say, as human beings, we are mindful that we are both flesh. We can make mistakes. We can trust Judas's. You know, we bring Judas's into ministry. We don't realize it. Yes? We can go into allegiance, people who pretend to be Christians, thinking that we're only doing business with Christians. Lord, whatever we do, if you don't pour a blessing upon it, it won't go anywhere. So guys, let's join hands, please. Just ask God for his mercy upon this business. And they do, and then they go home. That's when men start dreaming dreams. They start having revelations. You understand my point? Yes, you will have revelation that, listen, Mali is about to be invaded. Don't go there. Something you can never read in a business book. Please, I hope you are getting my point. You see, I'm getting stuck on this teaching. I'm not supposed to teach you. We're supposed to be praying. All right? What's my emphasis? Hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. Therefore, every one of us must what? Resist the temptation of the devil. That's the problem with good people. What did I say? They have too much good on their side. Listen, as a good man, it's hard not to think you are good. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. When you want to pray, you know, as you go there, me, all these girls, where did they play around me? since I secondary school and fellowship and church, I did go. When you want to pray, it's in your mind. It's in your mind. It's a passport for a good husband. It's a passport for prosperity. It's a passport for everything. And how you know that you're a sinner is this? When you see one bad girl gets married, say, is she really a Christian? Hey, we don't know. All these people. You know the truth? Paul said, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. If any girl be in Christ, are you getting my point? Until you look and say, is she really in Christ? You ask yourself, she's a true believer, then she's a new creature. Whatever it is, I like one thing Donald Jr. said once. Is if anybody says, I know this fellow, said they only know what the fellow was like, his history. If they say, I know this person, that knowledge is always history. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I said it's a temptation for good people. They have too much good on their side. They know how to pray. They know how to give. They know how to prophesy. They've lived a righteous life for a very long time. And Satan said, listen to me. That you know you are made. And they agree because of what they have done. And that's it. That is Satan trying to cage them. How do you resist Satan? Anytime you want to pray, you tell yourself, if the thought of I've been a good boy, I've been a good girl comes to your mind, I say, Lord, this thought just came to my mind. I confess it as sin. It's the work of my own flesh. I reject it. I have come to you today only by the grace that is in the blood of Jesus. Anything I'm getting from you as a result of today's prayer is going to be because Jesus paid for it. You hear what I said? What's the message? Is resist. What did I say? What did I say? Resist. That's the gospel of righteousness. That's what I'm teaching this series. That is the gospel of the righteousness of God. I know the advantage of that. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of any man, including you, what God has planned for you. Sow a seed towards this. It's because you know what you are sowing a seed towards. Amen? I don't know what I heard I said. If they say, sow a seed towards your dreamliner, you know, some people can't sow that seed, even if they have the money. They say, no, I ain't sowing that because God can't do that one. That is like, 200 and something million dollars. Are you joking? Because don't even go near there. But a man, a woman who approaches God on the basis of the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus, let's summarize it. In his or her life, anything can happen. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes, because I'm not operating by that which I personally can envision. No. I said to you the other day that Christians don't think, they receive thoughts. What did I say? They receive thoughts. Now, Pastor Banga, how do I receive thoughts? Just know that Christians don't think, they receive thoughts. Thoughts will start dropping into your head. God's ideas. That's why a naturally foolish person can be a success if he's a believer. That is, everybody knows that this guy, this girl, he don't know how to think. You will use error. What did I say? Error. You will use error to make $1 billion. That is, why did you make $1 billion? Because you are the only foolish person. Everybody else was smart. So you were the one that bet against the other people that were smart. All the other people that were smart. Therefore, when the thing was drawn, you were the only one betting wrongly. I don't know whether you get my point. So you won. So Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what it means. So. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Now, I'm not supposed to speak for long. It's supposed to be a foundation. So what are we doing? We're resisting. Tell your neighbor we are resisting. We are resisting Satan's temptations. Say it like that. We are resisting Satan's temptation. Let me say something to you again. How do you resist Satan's temptation? You know, sometimes we say, Satan, I resist you. That is quarter to resistance. That's not really resistance yet. It is you are trying to resist. At least now you know there is resisting to do. How do you resist, therefore? When Jesus was being tempted, what did he say? It is written. He knew somebody had to be resisted. That's what I've tried to emphasize. That Satan must be resisted. How do you resist him? It is how? By what is written. What is righteousness? Your righteousness. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. Open your Bibles, we'll read this. Then we'll stand to our feet. Then we'll begin to declare. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a scripture we all know. I just want to read it. Let's just read from verse 16. It said, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, just jump down to verse 20. I want to read verse 21. Said, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us.
We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, notice verse 21. Say, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me read again. He said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Now, that was sin. We'll teach on it maybe one of these Saturdays. But there are different ways to look at it. What he was saying in effect is this. All the payment, all the punishment for the sins of mankind have been poured upon him. As a consequence, we have been produced as two things. One, the demonstration of God's righteousness. That's number one. And then number two, we have become righteous in him. That is, we have now attained the righteousness of God in him. Those are the two things. Please note what I said. There are two things there. Number one, talking about sin. Sin has two sides there. One, that is, it has become a sin offering. All the judgment, all the punishment for your sin has been placed upon him. And as a consequence, what you have is two things also. You, your presence, your existence, is a demonstration that God is a righteous God. We'll talk about that later, not today. And then number two, you have attained the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. I hope you understand what I've said. I hope you understand what I said. Therefore, how do we live life? You understand that I am a righteous man. One day I had an argument with some people in my office. I think I was not wise, or I was being smart. So they're talking about righteousness, and I said that no man is righteous. I said, what do you mean? I'm righteous. I don't believe there's any man on this earth more righteous than me. Hey, one of my colleagues, they said, Chief, it was junior to me in the program. Said, Chief, I don't know about that. Oh. I don't know about that. Oh. As if, how can you stand up and say that nobody on this earth is more righteous than you? And another person said, like, I should get away. I said, let me say it again. Nobody on this earth is more righteous than I am. You know the confusion? They were thinking from the other end. You are saying you don't have any bad thoughts. Okay, let's say we didn't catch you doing anything bad. But let's look at your mind. Are you saying there's nothing bad inside you? Okay, there's nobody on this earth that you hate. Because whoever hates somebody is a murderer. Those are the things they are thinking about. But I was thinking of one thing. What I have become in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? The least in the kingdom of God is more powerful than John the Baptist. I am thinking about what I have become in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about the fact that I wasn't talking about that I don't make any mistakes. I wasn't talking about the fact that I've never done anything wrong, or that my thoughts don't think wrong things. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. I was looking at that conversation from one premise. I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you can't get better than that. Do you understand? Even if Jesus himself came back, you understand? All he will be is the righteousness of God in himself. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I knew I caused confusion. Some people leave and say, don't mind that guy. He's so full of himself. But no, I wasn't full of myself. I was full of what? God. Let's rise to our feet. Say prayer meeting. Like I said, it's today we are resisting. What did I say? I said something to you last time. I hope you have done it between Saturday and today. All your account is empty. Amen. you know what I mean by that? Those who are around on Saturday. There are those that have been doing things. Say this one. This offering I give today is for my future. Hear ye the word of the Lord. That account is empty. It wasn't empty until you heard me. And it was empty all the while. I was just the one that God used to show you your true balance. You know, how many of you know PENCOM? PENCOM here. So every Nigerian that's working, they're supposed to have a PENCOM account. So for years, since they started the thing, because I work for federal government, they've been taking money from my account, small. So I just assume that it's supposed to be your retirement savings account, RSA, all right? So one day I got a slip of paper, generated by a computer, of course, that said your RSA contribution is, as they give you your balance, 0.00. Nothing in front, nothing behind it. Your account balance is 0.00. I looked, what is going on here?
Let's make it long story short. For the 3 or 4 years that my money has been deducted, no, is that in 2004 or 2007? When was it? Did you start that thing? And for all the years that they've been doing that, until last year, my own account was written 0.00. Now, we're not going into details about that, all right? How it came to be. But somebody was not remitting the money. Because the money doesn't get to our institution. It's taken from Abuja. They just cut it. They do something and then send it. But he said the money was sitting down in CBN. So even federal government did not know. They found out. That's when in my office, say, giddy, giddy, giddy. Everybody come over here. Start filling form. So that he said the money was just sitting down in CBN. Nobody was chopping it. Nobody just knew it was there. So people would just retire. Say, where's my retirement service? So sorry, your balance is 0.00. Now, the bad side of it is that they were supposed to be investing the money over there. It's supposed to be growing, you know, stuff like that. So most of us, for like 4 or 5 years, the thing was just stagnated. Now, why did I tell the story? Many Christians have been paying money to their future. And the account is what? 0.00. I have come today to warn you that your account is empty. But you can feel your account. Amen. Yeah, you can feel your account. Actually, you can't really feel it by yourself. Just open it for the grace that God has achieved in Christ Jesus to be channeled into that account. I said to you before, anytime you do work and you think that because of this work you'll be blessed, you just killed the power in that work. You just killed it. This is what Christians are supposed to do. You do that which is right and take your eyes off it. If you got my tweet a few days ago, I said it. Now listen, those who do good works for the reward, they don't get anything. But those who make good doing a continual lifestyle, there's great abundance of reward for them. I hope you're getting what I'm not explaining. See, that's why, anyway, I'm trying not to teach, all right? Let me I just lay the foundation for us to understand that in Christ Jesus, you are made. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen, the prosperity you could ever have dreamt of, God has prepared something bigger than that for you in your future. It is not because of what you did or did not do. It is because Jesus Christ died and he rose again from the dead. Do you get my point? Some say, preach that when you are going to heaven, you carry some souls to God with you. For your information, the thing that's carrying to heaven, no, they carry 2 people. Now only 1 person they carry. Naked you came into this world and alone you will go back. That's how it goes. The souls you won for God, are they counted? No, they are not. Because Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. God can never accredit to you the increase that he gave. The man who preached just preached and does it. He's done his job. So what do you do as a believer? You just keep preaching. Just keep declaring. Stop. Just continue giving the testimony. That's what we do as Christians. We just do our good works continually. Then when it's prayer time like now, we lay hold of that which Christ has done. Are you getting my point? So let's begin to pray on this premise. Let's just start with a word of thanksgiving again. Just start thanking God. Say, Lord, I thank you because in Christ Jesus I've been set free. All my sins have been washed away. Listen, you can't pay for your sins by yourself. You can't. It's important to understand that. You cannot pay for your sins by yourself. Just say, Lord, I thank you because all my sins have been washed away. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am not the same anymore. I am not a descendant of my grandfather. I am not a descendant of my father or my mother. I am a descendant. I was born of the Spirit of God because I believed. Say, Lord, I thank you because in Christ Jesus I have passed out of death. I have passed into life. He said that in the book of John chapter 5. Verse 24, he said, those who have believed, they have passed out of death into life. Say like you believe it. Say, Lord, I have passed out of death and I have passed into life. I thank you that it's not by my works. It's not by my own doing. No, it's just because Jesus died and he rose again. He gave his life as a ransom for me. He gave his life as a ransom for me. And I have believed that. I have believed that. Thank you for helping me to believe. Thank you for taking care of my unbelief. Thank you, Lord, for drawing me near to you. You said I was found by those who were not even seeking for me. Lord, I was not seeking for you. It was your spirit that called me. Therefore, it is all of you.